Well, and again, thanks for being a great audience tonight, and I've been really inspired by what the panelists have said so far. I also wanted, like I said, we have two sell-side people here, and then I know Nelson is buy-side. And I was wondering if you guys could maybe reflect, you kind of already mentioned Inga, but maybe Matt, if you could reflect a little bit on the pressures of being on the sell side and having to please the customer in some situations as opposed to being on the buy side.
I find that most of my struggles come with customers, actually, and not so much P&L, although, you know, there's obviously on the sell side this, you know, a P&L if you're a trader, or in my case, you know, your commissions for the day. So you definitely have the P&L side, the commission side that I hit on earlier, but then I think you do have this tension, this natural tension with the client, and yet you have to please them. And there's always this question, you know, in the back of your mind, if not right before you, of, you know, how far will I go? Because everywhere, you know, there are questionable practices on the trading floor. And I think that some of the things, I remember when I first got on the trading floor and I would see some of the things that went on and think, you know, especially coming from my little, you know, idealistic West Point duty on our country background, I would never, you know, do that. You know, I would never say that, or I'd never allow that to happen. And then, you know, after a few years, you just become oblivious to certain things. And I think if an outsider or someone with, you know, a fresh perspective walked onto the floor, they'd say, you know, what is that? How do you justify that? And so, you know, there's that constant struggle. And are you willing to forego a trade for the sake of maintaining your integrity, and people, you know, and people see that, building a relationship over time, and sort of, again, trusting in the Lord, as Inga and Nelson both mentioned, to provide for you in the days and months and years ahead, and not just, you know, right here and now to get a trade on the tape. So, yeah, that's pretty much.
And Nelson, do you have
it.
Anything to add on buy side versus sell side, since they're both on? Obviously, buy side is, I think, probably advantageous most of the time. But.
Oh, yeah. No, I think no question. I mean, in the end, like, if you're on the buy side, I mean, the sales, your sales coverage is trying to, like, impress you, not really vice versa. So, I mean, you know, if you're a salesperson, certainly if a guy says, hey, I want to go to, you know, this place, you're kind of like, oh, man, this guy, you know, it's $1 million a year, you know, account. I mean, I got to kind of take care of this guy. But that being said, once again, you are in the Lord, and the, you know, the Lord asks even more from you than that. I mean, you know, he says, you know, take up your cross. And certainly losing a job, not taking him across. I mean, taking him across is a good deal greater than losing a job. You know, that being, yes, like I said, so yeah, being on the buy side, I think is much better. I mean, in the end, like, if my coverage, you know, they're going to say, hey, what do you want to do? And I say, I want to go watch the Yankees play. You know, that's a little more tame, you know, so I get Yankees tickets. Or they get you, take you to a steak restaurant. So I think definitely being on the buy side is much better.
Okay, for next question, for Matt, what are your top priorities and how do you apply those priorities to your use of time? Life priorities and work priorities, and how do you, I mean, trading isn't as time pressured as investment banking or being an analyst, or, but still can be all-consuming, so.
Life priorities, you know, honoring the Lord and serving the Lord are obviously top priorities, but that can be, as I think we touched on, can be any part of your life, can be your work or you know, at home or church or whatever. But I think more specifically, serving in my church is a top priority of mine. And so I make time to go to the fellowship group as often as I can. I serve, you know, in an informal leadership capacity in the church. My wife actually is a big part of the music ministry, so that takes up part of my time, having young children. And obviously, making time with my family is very, very important. And I'll forego a lot of times, you know, internal type stuff and even client stuff to get home, to have dinner at the table with my family, or rush out on a Friday when everybody else is going out for drinks. So serving in the church, being at home, you know, being a father to my children, not just, you know, on the weekends, but as often as I can during the week. And then, of course, I think that we're called to be professionals, to work diligently. We're certainly compensated well, and we are expected to, you know, serve our firms honorably. So that is a priority, and I do take that seriously, to be out when I need to, or to be late in the office if I need to be, or, you know, as early as I need to be. So.
And then kind of a second part to that question, who keeps you accountable and challenges you to deepen your Christian walk?
My pastor is very significant in doing that in my life. I'm pretty, you know, we go to a Redeemer plant out in New Jersey, and so there are only about 150 people in the church, and we're pretty tight. So he is very good about making demands on my time, and had me gone all last weekend at a retreat. But those are important things, and of course, like I'm sure everybody else in the room goes through. Before you do it, you think, I can't do this. I don't have the time, especially with me with my kids. I said to my wife, I said, I can't believe I'm giving up a weekend with my children, you know, to go and be with five guys in the church and the pastor at his parents' place in the Poconos. But, you know, and I'm on Route 80, you know, at 6:30 on a Friday night, I haven't had anything to eat because I'm rushing out to go. But, you know, those are the devil's wily ways. But once you get into those places, whether they be retreats or fellowship groups or prayer meetings or whatever they are, you find that you're so thoroughly blessed. Even getting here tonight, I was telling a man, it took me an hour and a half to get up, or tried to get up the West Side Highway, and ended up coming up the FDR to come over to the West Side Highway. But there's always some kind of stumbling block in your way, and I just think you need to be persistent in pursuing the Lord and pursuing opportunities to serve Him.
And Inga, if you could also answer the same kind of two-pronged question, what do you consider to be your top priority list, and who keeps you accountable and challenges you to deepen your Christian walk?
Well, I think this is one thing that being single is a bit of a struggle with, because I don't live with anybody, so I'm not accountable in the day-to-day stuff to anybody really but me, if I allowed it to be like that. So I seek relationships that keep me more accountable, and I try to be transparent in those relationships. It would be very easy for me. I travel a decent amount, and so it would be easy for me to just kind of, I don't often spend the same day with the same person, but I have some friends. I have some very close Christian friends that I speak with every single day, and every single day I talk about what's going on in my life. And it was a habit that took some work to develop, because naturally, you know, you can kind of compartmentalize a bit and not really talk about things that are bothering me or I'm worried about, or maybe I'm feeling tempted to compromise in. But I have some friends that are, we pray together, actually, even though some of them don't live in New York, we pray together on the phone, and we have some things that, you know, we talk very thoroughly with each other. And actually, some of them are very far removed from the world of finance, and so it kind of gives me a very good perspective. And they're also, the great thing is that I can share struggles that I have in the pit and have them praying for me. So it gives me some support. So that's the biggest thing, is I talk to them. And then also, I run in the mornings, and when I run, I pray. And so I pray through the order of my day. And oftentimes when I do that, I kind of want to rearrange my time. Like, I could be out with clients every single night, and sometimes I just don't. And I've actually found that my business doesn't really suffer that much when I don't hang out with clients all the time. And sometimes I don't do that, because if I do, then I'm really tired and I can't be fresh for some of the ministry things that I'm in, or some things that I'm involved with in terms of the church. And so I curtail my professional events so that I have some of me left over to give. And I think that a lot of times I feel a weight of the responsibility of time, and I don't want a year to pass and for me to feel like I gave all this to my clients and I didn't invest. So, you know, I do ministry once a week at this time, and no matter what, I try to do that. Occasionally I have to cancel it, but I try very hard not to. So there's some things that I put in my life that check tendencies.
And Nelson, if you could also reflect a little bit on the question, how do your priorities influence your use of time, and who keeps you accountable in your walk with the Lord?
Yeah, but certainly like Matt and Inga, I have a lot of friends who I talk to about I try to be pretty transparent with and just talk about the struggles I'm going through and the great blessings the Lord's given me. You know, in addition, I mean, certainly the Bible's essentially the Lord Himself. I mean, when you I read the Bible, it definitely keeps me very accountable. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I make it a very high priority to make sure I read the Bible at least once a day, and usually twice a day. So it's amazing how many times when I'll be facing some sort of a temptation, and I'll read a passage like Psalm 115, where it says, your idols are with silver and gold. And you're like, yeah, you're right. I'm worried about my money. And it's like, it's literally meaningless in a lot of ways. Certainly the Bible is definitely keeps me very accountable. And like I said, friends as well. Because of that, obviously my priorities, is the Lord first, and toward that, making sure I'm reading the Bible and interacting with friends who are also Christian. And then obviously my work, I get paid a very, fair wage. I have to do my job, and obviously, you know, in the end, you know, you should try to do a good job for your employer. So besides that, I mean, like, obviously family and, you know.
Thanks. Well, I actually wanted a little bit of, it kind of was mentioned in Inga's talk and also in Matt, the kind of the reflection in the panel of the strengths and advantages or the disadvantages of being married versus being single. If you could maybe touch on that, Matt, and then all three of you can maybe comment on that.
Yeah, in the last question, didn't get around to speaking about my wife, who obviously keeps me most accountable in my walk. And having a family is a challenge, but I wouldn't even pretend that it's more challenging than it is a blessing. I mean, the advantages that I have of being able to share with my wife, being able to pray with my wife, being able to ask my wife to pray for me if I'm going through something at work. You know, and also just my children actually hold me accountable because I see in them myself and in my relationship with them and how they rebel sometimes or how they disobey or ignore what I ask them to do, how I'm that way in my walk with the Lord, and you know, and I ignore him and neglect my relationship with him or disobey. So, yeah, I mean, the advantages are far outweigh the disadvantages, but it is a challenge, too, especially not living in the city, you know, and having a family and placing such a high priority on them to get home and to make sure that, you know, a lot of people talk a good game, especially people on Wall Street. I find they talk, oh, he's a big family guy, or it's usually a guy, or he's a big family guy. And then I meet the guy, and everybody talks a good game, but, you know, so if you take your kids to the park, yeah, I mean, if you take your kids to the park for half an hour, or you take them to Disneyland because you got money to blow, you know, that's not being a true Christian parent as we're called to be. So it really does take time, and it's one of those odd things where quantity matters, and it's not just about quality, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's all about quality. But it really does take time of just sitting with your kids and taking time to, you know, to pray with them, to instruct them in whatever, you know, materials you're using, or just reading the Bible with them. So, you know, that's a real challenge in that it takes a lot of time to do those things. And, you know, none of us has that, so.
And Inga, if you could also reflect on maybe the advantages or disadvantages of being single. You've already kind of mentioned it a little bit, but.
Sure. I think Matt said it well in terms of, you know, having somebody to hold you accountable and having somebody to balance. Like, when I've had a really, really rotten day, sometimes I go home and I have to deal with that day, that there's not something that kind of distracts me a little bit. On the other hand, my time is my own, and I can work 4 nights a week and do ministry another night, and I can devote a lot more energy to my job that I probably wouldn't be able to devote, and, you know, arguably that makes a better position to be a better witness. So I think one thing that's hard about being a single woman on Wall Street is that, as I said, there are men that are predators, and that can make you more vulnerable sometimes. And I think as a woman, that's a big challenge that I face. But recently, I've started praying about dangerous situations, and I've believed and claimed that God is my protector, regardless of how vulnerable I may seem sometimes. And I found him to be faithful in that regard. So I believe, like Keller once said, that if you're single or if you're married, you're in that state because God most thinks you can grow in that state. And so I believe that right now, at this time in my life, that I must be called to be a single woman on Wall Street, or I wouldn't be in that position. And that gives me a lot of faith to navigate the day-to-day.
And Nelson, if you could also reflect on being single on Wall Street.
Yeah, I've never been married, but I expect I will one day. yeah, the main thing is, you know, as Ingen pointed out, I have a lot more free time, per se. I mean, and I agree with Matt, it probably is, you know, great when you are married and you have a great family, you know, that's a joy, you know, enjoyable time. But certainly does free me up to, you know, to work harder and you know, spend more time, you know, reading the Bible or, you know, interacting with Christian friends. You know, that being said, obviously, if I was married, I'd probably be doing that with my wife, so, and but yeah, so far as work, maybe gives me a little bit of advantage, because I, you know, you can definitely go out with client, you know, with brokers, or, you know, spend a little more time at work, or just, you know, maybe get a little better night's sleep. But I don't know, so I've never been married.
Well, on the note of a good night's sleep. Well, I actually wanted to open it up now to the audience. If you guys have any questions, follow-ups to the questions that have already been asked, questions that haven't been asked.
I have a question while people
Sure.
are thinking. I'm not in that industry. But in the 30 years that I worked in business, I saw a big difference in this whole area of the way women were treated or men that went out on, you know, to sex clubs and things like that, from being very active to it being almost eliminated entirely from my work life, except for in your pocket of the world. So my question is, and I know you guys haven't been around for 30 years, but why has that change been so effective? And I mean, it's laws, it's legal actions that, I mean, I don't think that in a technology environment I was in, anyone would dare invite anyone in my presence anyway to a club at night or certainly take a client. But why has it not changed your world at all? What's the dynamic?
If you compare Wall Street today versus like 20 years ago, I mean, it has cleaned itself up. I mean, 20 years ago, I mean, it was absolutely horrific. I mean, you know, what could go on a trading desk? I mean, you know, like for birthday parties, you'd invite, you know, girls over, you know, to a guy's trading desk. I mean, it was almost obscene, to be honest, you know. So it has gotten a lot better. That being said, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure why it's still, you know, worse than working in technology. I mean, I'm not sure. Do you guys have any?
I mean, yeah, I agree with Nelson that it has changed and that legally you can't do it. I mean, you can't pull out your court. Morgan Stanley just fired 5 or 6 people a few months ago for doing that. And it wasn't even on the company card. They just found out they did it. So there is a sense in that, you know, it has cleaned up a bit. But I can't help but be struck by the piggery of Wall Street. I mean, I love it, but at certain, you know, at other times I see stuff that goes on and I just think, I can't believe, you know, I'm witnessing this. But just being a sort of, you know, reform-minded Christian, I just think, you know, man's fallen, and that's, I've known businessmen in other industries that, you know, did questionable activity, you know, same type of stuff that I see. So I don't know that it certainly is stereotypically Wall Street, but I don't know that it's, you know, so prevalent on Wall Street more than it is in other places. But look, it's something we have, you know, confronted.
Glad there's progress. Anybody else?
Well, Nelson, did you have a further comment?
There's one thing about being a trader, which I think is unique to being a trader over most businesses. In most businesses, you're part of a team. If you work for Microsoft, you work for the corporation, you're part of a team. You're not a sole cog. You know, you're part of a cog, a machine, and you do this part of the. Where a trader, really, you're kind of a prima donna in some sense. I mean, everything's catered directly to you. I mean, salespeople call you, catering to you, trying to get you to their business. Your P&L, if you're a producer, people look at you and you're kind of untouchable. I mean, like, you produce, you know, $50 million to firm, you know. It wasn't because you sat in a seat at UBS or because you sat in a seat at Goldman Sachs. Because, you know, especially if you're a prop trader, it's like, hey, you made the money because, you know, you had good fortune or you were smarter than the rest of the world. In that one sector, and so you kind of are. You can be a prima donna. I mean, everyone, you know, they get your food for you, and you bring your food to your desk if you want. You know, like I said, people are catering to you. It's not like you really have to. You're not really accountable to anybody at all. Maybe except for risk manager every once in a while, and even that, if you're making a lot of money, a risk manager calls and don't ever bother me again. And a lot of times they won't. You know, and it's, you know, and I don't want to sound arrogant about it. You know, because I'm not saying I'm that person. I'm just saying that in general, being a trader is a very unique job in the sense that if you are successful being a trader, you kind of get to do what you want to do when you want to do it, essentially, fully. And, you know, whereas even if you're a very important programmer at Microsoft, you're still part of a team. You might be writing the core code for Windows or whatever, but you still have to be integrated with the whole team. Whereas a trader, you don't necessarily have to. I mean, certainly there are different trading roles, but trading is a pretty unique job in the sense of, you know, it's just about you, essentially. And so at that point, you're like, hey, you know what, I want to go to this club tonight. And the salespeople are like, okay, you know, how about one of these three places? Okay, I'll take, you know, the second. And that's it. So you kind of get to do what you want, whereas you don't feel like you have to be really accountable to anybody.
Thank you. That's very insightful.
Is anyone?
So it's not just money. It's like the whole power of the whole thing that is equally the idol and the draw. Anybody?
I know Inga said, I believe that she prayed for acceptance at the MBA program.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if anyone prayed, you know, for individual trades or is it just general?
I can answer this one. I pray for trades all day long, and I see trades get done that I pray about often. So I also pray that I'll have wisdom because I have some control over, you know, my job is I sell, but I sell the bonds that my traders want me to sell to customers. And so I have customers that trust me a lot. And we have bonds that are very dicey, and they're high-yield instruments. And I have customers that would buy bonds if I told them to buy them, and I pray that I'll have wisdom to know what are the right bonds for them and what aren't, and that I will disclose, you know, the proper risk. And I've also seen, I do oftentimes pray for business, and I've seen unbelievable business come that I believe is a direct result of prayer. But sometimes, like, I prayed very hard to sell a derivative in January, and I was very frustrated because the trade wasn't getting done, and I pray about my business a lot, and I kept feeling like this trade should be getting done. And it was a an interest-only security. It was an, kind of a complex instrument, but part of it was an interest. The whole relationship of the bond, there are these two different components, and one of it was a principal-only, dicey credit part, and then the other part was an interest-only, and the interest-only was supporting the credit. It was AAA-rated, whereas the rest of the bond was unrated. And so if the AAA-rated bond went away, the bond itself would become not only bad yield, but a bad credit. And I prayed, and I was working this bond, and I really evaluated the risk, and I thought it made sense, and this and that, and it just didn't get done for various reasons. And I sometimes pray that trades that shouldn't get done won't get done. And sure enough, this interest-only bond printed crazy fast, and this credit of the bond started to deteriorate. And I was so thankful that I hadn't sold that bond. And it was a risk. It was a roll of the dice how that bond would perform. And so I've started to get into more and more risky assets, I pray for wisdom to know if this bond is right for this customer. And I have customers that are that don't trust anybody, that trust me. And I think the reason they do is, I mean, they don't know that I pray about their bonds. I have no idea. I think they sense what, I mean, I had a very jaded Wall Street guy tell me once, you know what, I believe that you're sincere, authentic, and that you know what you're doing. And that was the greatest compliment I've ever been paid in my job, because he has no idea that I sit at home and I, you know, pray for him and his firm and his portfolio. So if any of you, I'm sure many of you do pray for your jobs, but if any of you feel like, oh gosh, God could never care about finance and God could never care about my bonds or, you know, whatever your position may be, I really beg you to reevaluate that. And I would encourage you to pray about your trades, your portfolio for wisdom. I would suggest that you pray that God would establish the work of your hands. I think those are all scriptural prayers. And I believe that, I know that he's on Wall Street. I know that Jesus is on Wall Street. And I believe that that he wants to bless us in our workplace, and he wants to give us wisdom, and he wants to use us. And I just can't tell you how important it is that you pray about the day-to-day moment of the day and never think that, oh gosh, this is, you know, not important to the kingdom of God, because I know that it is.
Does that ever, when you pray about a position or a trading position and it goes against you, does it ever give you a tendency to hang on to it thinking maybe he'll work it out rather than doing what you think is most people would just cut your losses, you know?
I guess my position is different. I think I would defer this question maybe to Nelson, because my trades are discreet, like they happen or don't happen every time. So I don't know if you...
I'm pretty similar to Inga in the sense I do pray a lot. I mean, both about trades I do, and also, like I said, just to, you know, I would be led out of temptation and just to yearn for the Lord. But yeah, in the end, certainly all my prayers, I end up, you know, asking the Lord's will be done. So, I mean, if I get blasted, then it's, you know, it's on me, you know. But yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, I don't think I alter my trading style. I still do what I think is best. I mean, certainly I pray the Lord will give me great wisdom in my trading decisions. At the same time, you know, humility is a good thing sometimes as well, so.
And I actually have something to add on that myself. I remember I'd been working for maybe 2 months, and I think I'd been on the trading desk for like 6 weeks or something, so I was really green. And I did some trade where my boss told me to buy, I think he told me to buy Intel, and I was really stupid, so I bought INTL rather than INTC. And INTL turned out to be this like random stock. So I bought all these shares of it, and I'm like, oh no. And I was just really freaked out, and I couldn't even really just get out of the position. And at the same time, I was having this horrible time. I was like, Lord, shit, am I even supposed to be here? And like I said, it was just this random stock, and that's just stock. Just the next day, it started going up. No reason. It went up $10, and then we sold all of it off, and then it went back down. And as much as I am not the type of person to say that God moves the stocks for me. It was actually one of those things where I really felt the Spirit confirming in my heart that, Amanda, you're in the place you're supposed to be, and I'm going to take care of you even when you make stupid mistakes. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Nice trade, Amanda.
Thanks. Believe me, I don't do all of them that way now, but, you know.
My question is primarily directed towards Nelson. You recently spoke about the autonomy you have as a successful trader, and really, as a trader can have, any trader, there's kind of a primary principle in the Bible of authority and accountability. I realize you're accountable to the profit and loss statement, but how do you keep yourself right-sized? Are there mentors in your life that you answer to or you seek out? And also the accountability to our employers, to our family, to our church. You know, how does that work out? Mostly in your employment. I hope I made that clear.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good question. I mean, I think in the end, you have to look to Jesus. Essentially, you know, you look to God, and I think, you know, if that doesn't one level humble you, I mean, yeah, you got to really have a bad perspective on the world. But I mean, essentially, I think of like somebody like Philippians, where Jesus, although being in nature of God, was willing to humble himself even to, you know, death on a cross. Essentially, and you just kind of realize, well, I mean, I don't care how much money you make. If you're George Soros or Stanley Druckenmiller, you're not even comparable. So I mean, that's definitely certainly, you know. But that being said, it's still you have to walk in it. And obviously, if you're doing very well, you do get a little bit of an ego, but. Certainly talking to, you know, good Christian friends and reading the Bible. Like I said, I mean, the Bible is, I definitely need to read it a lot, because, I mean, definitely there's a lot of temptation to come up in trading, you know, for whether you feel like a dejected failure or you think you're bigger than you really are, so.
And any last question before we close? It's about 7 minutes tonight. So I actually wanted to close in prayer, praying for the financial services ministry at Redeemer, for the trading industry, specifically in New York, and then I also wanted to specifically pray for Nelson, Inga, and Matt. May y'all just bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this awesome time on a Friday night coming, and I know that I felt so enriched by this evening, Lord, and thank you so much for Nelson, Inga, and Matt, for their willingness to be vulnerable, Lord, to talk and try to answer questions, Lord, that are very difficult, that I'm sure have kept them up nights at sometimes. And I just thank you for their vulnerability, for their willingness to serve you, Lord. And I just pray your blessing on Nelson, on Inga, on Matt, that you would give them your protection, Lord. You would help them to walk strong in their testimony, that they would serve you in their attitudes towards work and their attitudes towards coworkers, in their ego, Lord, and their priorities, and what place money has in their heart. I pray that you would put your anointing on, even in their portfolios and their books, Lord, that you would give them good ideas, that you would help them to be protected, Lord, even, and that they would continue to have the perspective, Lord, that no matter what happens in the portfolio, if they are listening to you and they are following you, that their ultimate security is in you alone. I pray wisdom for Inga and Matt in dealing with customers. I pray wisdom for Nelson in dealing with both the downside of a bad day and the ego that can come with being a successful day, with a successful day. I pray for Inga and Nelson with the challenges of being single, for Matt with the challenges of being married and keeping his family a priority and answering and meeting all those different needs that are around him. I pray for all our panelists, Lord, that you would just put your anointing upon them, that they, as especially in this next week, in this next month, Lord, they would feel your anointing so much upon them, Lord, that they would feel your presence throughout the trading day, that they truly would pray without ceasing, that you would continue to give them good accountability in their lives. And just let the fruits of what you're doing internally just pour out through their lives, and many would come to know you through the witness, that even if they don't always see it immediately, that people would look at them and say, you know what, maybe Christianity has something to it because these people are different. And I just pray for the trading industry in general, Lord, that you would begin a new work in New York City, Lord, and begin a new work in the trading industry, Lord, that money would not be our God, Lord, power or sex or fame or whatever, or ego would not be our God, but that you would be our God, and that you would, from every trading floor, from every upstairs desk, from every hedge fund, every portfolio manager and salesman, Lord, that your spirit would start a new sense of need, Lord, that people would start to feel like they needed something more than just the day-to-day going out with customers and partying lore, but that they would come in one day and say, you know what, I'm tired of being drunk, I'm tired of being obsessed with money, I want something more in my life. And they would be drunk in your spirit, Lord, in a different way. And I just pray that you begin a new work in the trading industry, Lord. And I also just pray your blessings on Redeemer's Financial Services Ministry, that you would continue to give us vision, Lord, as we go as a ministry that would meet the needs of traders, of investment bankers, of analysts, of all the other different people who are in the financial services industry, and that you would make this a place, Lord, where people are challenged to grow, where accountability is formed, and where new initiatives are formed, Lord, to transform both our own personal lives, our own our testimonies as people in the financial industry, but also transform the way that capital markets are run and the way world finances are run, and that you would just begin a new work here. And just bless everyone who has come here tonight. Plant seeds in our heart, Lord, and help us to more than ever desire to dwell in your presence. In your name, amen. And thanks for coming tonight. And thank you again to our panelists for being willing to give up their Friday night and really share with us.